Sure. If you knew about that, because he died in L.A., or and then why he was buried in Paris.
Right. And for those who don't know, at the opening of Oliver Stone's movie On the Doors, you see the bedroom of Jim Morrison, you know, his little place in Venice Beach or someplace, and is scanning over his messy desk and bed, and there you see a copy of Understanding Media by Marsha McLuhan right there on the bed.
Wow.
Ollie Stone, he knew somebody knew the right thing. But back to, so we do this, so there it is in 71, so I start training and paddling that winter, and that was a cover to get to Europe with you guys under the paddling guys, and then we did the Munich Olympics and the terrorist action, and it doesn't mean we blew up anybody or killed anybody. Think of it as sort of overseeing, like watchers, what was going on. See?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. And, Karen, what are they called, geckos? This little gecko slowly coming towards me, slowly creeping across the carpet. He's nervous, very nervous. And then we disappeared, and we didn't see Sue for a year or two because she went flying.
Right.
And we'll leave the story at that. We don't want to bore the people, you know, Sue.
No.
We have to present.
Announcement. You are at the halfway point, 73 hours going into your 74th hour.
Didn't you?
Yay!
Did you announce the Greg? Did you announce the halfway point at 61 hours when it was going for 122, or was that Bill?
That was Bill.
Well, so very good, 73 hours. I like that. That's you know what, Greg? That's what we just said. In 1973, we didn't see Sue because she went flying. There's the 73 number.
Yep.
That's cute. Very good.
Yeah. Higher math is always happening around here. So what is that, Carolyn? A little frog?
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn is now scooping the thing underneath, got it trapped under her cup, and she's trying to, you know, scoop it up. The little toad. So
save the toads.
Yeah, it's a tiny, tiny newt. A very cute newt. So,
a cute newt.
It's so cute.
Yeah, newts are cute. And then we reconnect with Sue in Ontario in 74, and we met her mafia boyfriend, Gino or something. And Sue hung out with him for a couple of years. And he actually didn't make the mafia. I discussed it with him. He said he was approached, but he decided not to go in the mafia because he was an Italian in Toronto. And they were always... What?
He said that?
Yes, he was approached, and he decided not to do it. He'd been civilized by you, Sue. He'd rather spend time with Sue.
Good maritime girl.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, look. Carolyn successfully has trapped the little newt.
Yay!
He's very tiny. So tiny. He's a dinosaur.
And he's like flipping around.
Yeah, he's like the original human, those little lemurs that the Evergreens were talking about the other night. The original human being.
Lemurs. Well, I've been writing down tons and tons of things as the days have gone by, Bob. Just remembering so many things that you've introduced me to. Even when you mentioned Chris Jammerdy, I remember being in Toronto when you taking me to.
Oh, this is a good story. Let me take over this one.
Night.
There was
a
series. There was a series of Chris Jammerdy films in 1979 at Convocation Hall or Sigmund Samuel's building at the University of Toronto. Sue knew nothing about this guy, so I took her to the thing. So we watched the film and the footage, and we left, and we walked out, and Sue was speechless. And there were two guys in front of us. I always remember this, Sue. And they walked out, and they were sort of walking fast, and they were looking at each other, waiting for one of them to say something. And they didn't know whether to say something to each other or not. They were stunned, too. And that's what I took. And then that influenced you, that speech by Chris Jammerdy, that debate, dialogue, and you took a year or two to process it, I guess.
Yeah, I have several of his books here. But I was I was wondering, there was another guy he was in dialogue with on that show. Do you remember who that was?
Yeah, the psychiatrist. He was there was David Bohm, you know, the Bohm, the guy who is a metaphysical physicist, and the psychiatrist. Remember the sort of heavy guy with the glasses and slumped over, very cynical? He was the psychiatrist.
Yeah.
It was the three of them.
You were introducing me to Blavatsky and all that kind of stuff.
You met McLuhan that year, too? You met McLuhan that year?
Was that 79?
Yes, early 79. Let me see. Yeah, because it was in the fall of 79 he stroked. So you would have met him in late 78, early 79 at the Coach House.
Right. Yeah, because you had introduced me to Blavatsky and all that theosophical stuff. So actually to be there... looking at Krishnamurti was quite interesting, and then, of course, researching a lot about his life and his early days when Blavatsky brought him and his brother over from Italy, from India.
It wasn't Blavatsky. She was basically dead. It was Annie Besant.
Oh, right, yeah.
Annie Besant. Fabian Society, and she was a follower of Blavatsky. Blavatsky died early, and But there is, I played something about Blavatsky last night from the Evergreens, but there was something. Now you can read how I program Sue in my diaries. She's there as a character, but she's presented in an opposite mode, which is a personal joke I did on everybody in the diary. They would read, their name would be assigned to something that obviously wasn't them. So they had to find out the non-Sue. Where was non-Sue assigned? The other name.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right there in the diaries, Sue's early programming. And then we introduced it to Garrett Dean, and that had fatal consequences. And then and Sue ended up killing Garrett in the final night. When was that? 1993. You see the pictures of Sue now working for the Bolsheviks and had defected from Bob and Carolyn and decided to snuff out Garrett. And so you see those pictures of sickly Garrett, sickly, dying Garrett, and there's Sue beaming beside him, smiling.
Well, remember I ended up on a layover in New York City, and that was one or two nights after Garrett had died, and we were
at the hotel. 51st Street.
We look out the window, and down there is St. Patrick's Cathedral, right underneath the window. I remember we went down to St. Patrick's, and we went in to light some candles for Garrett, and the whole place was full. Why was that? It was the beginning of November.
Yes, it was All Saints Day or something, you know, the day after Halloween.
Right.
No, wait a minute. No, would you? Yeah, he had just died a day or two before. That's right. So it was something to do with the... post-Halloween celebrations.
The antidote to Halloween.
So I flew up to Halifax a few days later and hung out with the Garrett Dean cult for 3 weeks. And then on the day, the afternoon before I had to fly back, November 25th, Sue gave me her apartment and something else that I had to have to get access to the local newspaper. And I wrote the obituary. And I had probably did it on... would have been on your, not on your computer, but something, typed it. I don't know how that happened. And so then we got it over to them that night, and then the next day the newspaper had the tremendous Garrett Dean obituary.
And we had a great picture of him. I think that's what freaked everybody out, was that beautiful, spooky, black and white photograph of him with this long, scraggly hair and soulful eyes.
Yeah. So what happens, I called up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I woke up Linda Crawford, Sue Vanna, and the whole gang of them, and said, look at your newspaper today. And then I took the cab, or you drove me out to the airport, I don't know, whatever, and I flew back to New York. And then a few weeks later, we were interviewed, and they made a Sunday special... a Christmas special about Garrett.
Yeah, the Angel of Dartmouth.
Yes. Is that what it was called? The Angel of Dartmouth?
I don't know if it was Christmas Angel or Christmas Angel of Dartmouth or... can't remember exactly.
I opened your phone number again, Ginny, so you can speak if you have to. Let's go over and see what they're saying. Are they talking about us over in the thing? New Morning? I thought, was it 1977 was a dead year? No, 77 was a great year. That was the year that the Sex Pistols happened. It was the year that Trudeau came to McLuhan's coach house. It was the year I met Mary McLuhan, and it was the year we were in L.A. for 3 months with Carolyn, learning all the ancient arts from the East at the UCLA Pain Control Clinic. And she treated Aldous Huxley's wife, or widow, and one thing led to another. I don't see any comments on us, Sue. Nobody's commenting or making snarky remarks about our reminiscences. So.
Yes, let's get some snark going here, Bob.
Yeah, I'm going to. Look, it says, Dave, that may be Dave Neufeld, who was working with your son, says, I turned my radio on, and you said Sue Bone, and it's spelled B-E-A-U-N-E. More synchronicity. I think that's Dave Neufeld. I think so. Not sure. Norma says, where's Scott Norris?
When I heard you guys rattling away yesterday, I mean, it was pretty awesome. First, the girls were on with Carolyn, and everybody was having a great time, and then the guys get on, and it's almost like you're having a football party, but it's all about music, and and you're all talking a mile a minute. I mean, the energy was so different, and then, of course, the giggly girls get on. First, the sex queen comes in and has her little snit, and then the giggly girls get on. Oh, my God, it was precious, Bob, just precious.
I know, it was an amazing circus. What did you think of Hillary? Could you find anything in your heart to defend her at any level?
I don't think Hillary really knows what hit her.
Hey, look at this, Dave. There's something brewing, Sue, emergency. They're saying, they're all talking on the spy list. They're saying Bob's about to get a great surprise, hope someone's watching the phone line. And perfect time, so we better go over and look. What's going on? They're setting me up for something, Sue. Something's going to walk in here. Oh, well, there's an Ontario, Canada cell phone, 647-781. Who's that? I'm looking. Oh.
Hello, it's Brendan.
Yay!
Brendan?
Brendan Crosskerry.
And you're free, Brendan. You're free. You can tell us all about Mr. Bobby Ford.
Free from the chains.
Yeah. So that is Dave.
Hey.
That was Dave Neufeld. That was Dave Neufeld. Dave answered it because he knew that something was going to happen, so it had to be Dave Neufeld. Are you calling from Dave's place, Brendan?
No, I'm calling from downtown Toronto in the mega city here. Calling from my apartment, so.
Are you getting any charisma as a musician or Rob Ford groupies? How's it going there, your private life?
Private life is returning to normal now.
Brendan, the documentary, the little excerpt on YouTube, his documentary, the one that shows him in a good light, and he's shaking hands and all that, and he shakes everybody.
Oh, Ford Nation, yeah.
Yeah, and he comes over, and you're just getting out of the van, and he shakes your hand.
Well, that video was it was called The Summer of Ford, and it was a spoof on the Summer of George, a Seinfeld.
And was that made by your friend? Was that made by
your friend? Yeah, it was made by my friend Kent.
And so, did I meet Kent? Did I meet Ken at your
place? Yeah, I think you did at one point. Yeah, you did. You did a long time ago.
And the porch there. And he's a lazy guy back up in Ontario. And he doesn't do anybody. Casey makes a film.
Yeah.
So it's all intertwined with us. I mean, you're in the office, and there's other things I can't think of. But even the guy who made the film, Sue, I met Ken.
Ken,
exactly.
He tried to out-slack me. He was just sitting there, and he said he didn't have any definition for his life. He just was trying to be a slack master, and he was dealing with the ultimate slack master, me. And Brendan was caught in the middle.
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon, tell
Well, congratulations on lasting this long, Bob, on your marathon.
Well, the last thing, I'm halfway, 73 hours. I'm going to go 100 and something hours, 140 hours.
That's
going to be...
That's pretty good.
And, you know, based on nothing. I didn't even get tired. I didn't even sleep. It's going to be a warm-up for the EMP days. I think when the EMP happens, I'll have to stay awake for about 3 weeks. So I think I'm preparing for that.
Great.
Hey, Brendan, we paid Imaginary Girl on my show a couple of hours ago. So the world.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I love it.
Thanks so much. Glad you like it. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
You helped shape the mix with your input for Dave. You know, that's much appreciated. Thanks so much.
Well, here's the phrase we invented yesterday for Dave Neufeld: grass stained brain. Dave Neufeld with a grass stained brain. You should have heard him. We brought in a psychopathic quadriphenic schizoid, and Dave bantered with him for 2 hours. Just went 90 miles an hour.
I lasted 5 minutes.
Yeah, and Dave didn't even know that. He totally forgot where he was. He didn't even know he's hogging the phone lines and that he was in the middle of a Bob marathon. Totally forgot. He got very close in this guy from New Zealand. They bonded.
Wow.
Yeah. But I was sure happy he did that because I didn't want to argue with the guy. The guy was hopeless. He's your generation. You guys haven't gotten got a clue of anything.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean.
So, Brendan, what's it like working with Dave?
Oh, Dave is, it's amazing. It's really quite the process. Unlike any other musical kind of collaboration I've ever done. So, you know, it's been great, you know. You can hear the results of it,
fast.
You know, Mega City.
Yeah, is he fast?
What's that?
Is he fast? Very fast, right?
Is he fast? Yeah, very fast. Very fast compared to other producers. You know, a lot of other producers, they just take their time and let the years go by and the song just kind of morphs into something.
Yeah, let the years go by.
Yeah.
That's right. Dave gets it done in 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So, I love that, you know. It's like fast food music.
Right, so you would play the guitar in the studio in one of the little booths, and then he would add all the sound layering with your discussion or approval, or would you just let him do it on his own?
He would do it on his own pretty much, you know, and I kind of like that, you know, because usually producers, they don't know what they're doing, and they kind of ask you for what you think, and you know, I'm not producing, I'm just a musician, so. So it's nice.
What was your last interaction with Mr. Ford?
It was the last interaction I had was this morning at the budget committee, and he walked in. And he said, "It's up, buddy."
Yeah.
And he sat down and so I don't know. We're cordial at least now, so that's nice. You know, a lot of other staffers, they left the office in a panic when the cocaine allegations came out, or, you know, they left abruptly. But this was kind of a nice, kind of gracious exit, I guess, because counsel kind of broke up the office rather than, you know, being a decision by an individual. So
how did you announce your resignation? Did you walk in? Did you say it to him or to his secretary or something? How do you do that?
Well, he didn't really know what was going on. I walked in. He had just come from doing an interview on CTV News.
Yeah.
And while he was off talking to the media, his whole office was basically mutineering.
Yeah.
And and he came back and he started watching the TV to get an update on what was happening. And I just came up behind him and said, "Hey, well, Mr. Ford, it's a real pleasure working for you." And,
real
and I wish you all the best.
Get the hell out of here.
So he said, what's going on?
So,
I don't understand. Yeah. So.
And then tears started to roll. And then you said, "Well, sir, I got a promotion."
Oh, the tears.
My My mother doesn't accept I hang out with crack fiends. My mother is a respectable mother, and you're not helping my family much. I got to go back to Dartmouth.
Well, he would periodically say that throughout my whole time. Like, you know, I respect if you guys want to leave now, if your parents or your friends are giving you a lot of slack for being in this job, you know, and all the best to you. And, you know, he'd periodically say stuff like that to us. But
I'm encouraging him that he get reelected, because everybody else is a pimp in that triangle, and he said it's a coup. I agree with him, it was a coup, and I hope Ford Nation can get a 35% vote out, because the other two, Adam Vaughn and the other guy, will split the other vote.
Yeah.
So he should be back in.
Yeah, you know, he's got a good shot, I think, so.
Yeah.
Well, we were kind of following your career by watching the TV series called Veep. V-E-E-P.
Yeah, Brandon, you got to watch Veep. V-E-E-P.
Oh, yeah?
It's your life. It's your life exactly in the vice presidential office.
That's funny, because people say I got a lot of Dan. I guess there's a guy named Dan on the show.
Yes, that's right.
They say I look a lot like him, so.
Well, wait a minute. Dan is the most hypocritical, terrible person.
Well, that can't be me then.
That can't be you. Yeah. But you know, the Canadians around you are rather dumb. You know, they don't really see. They can't see Americans clearly. Like, you know, the Eskimo can see 100 kinds of snow, and the outsider sees one snow. Yeah. So these guys, these Canadians, can't tell the subtleties in the American character. So they just see one thing. And he looked cute, so they thought he was you.
Maybe. Yeah. I'll have to check it out. I haven't seen it.
You know how to do that? You go to primewire.ag.
Primewire.ag, okay.
Yeah, and that has all the movies, all the TV shows for free. It's China
great.
Operation. Sabotaging Netflix.
Great.
And you quickly can go through the first two seasons.
Oh, that's great. Do that. Thanks.
Yeah, it'll give you a real laugh and a kind of a perspective of the craziness you're involved in.
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon, tell Bob about your idea with the magnets.
Oh, I can't remember what it was. What was it?
You had me in stitches.
I can't remember.
I
can't remember what I said, though.
He goes with Rob Ford around and slaps magnets on cars, remember?
Yeah. So Rob likes to slap magnets. All these vote Rob Ford for mayor magnets on all over town on these cars.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I can't remember what I told my mom. What did I say, Mom?
Oh, you had this idea that you were going to get magnets made that said Bob Dobbs for mayor. And slap
it all over Adam's bronze car.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he would have a heart attack.
Did you meet him at any point, Brendan?
Oh, yeah, I meet him. Yeah, I see him all the time. And he's always, you know, the mayor will give, like, a press conference, and then Adam Vaughn will go out and try and talk to the cameras and tell his side of the thing.
Yeah, he's always arguing with Bobby Ford.
Yeah.
One of the newspaper articles says Bobby Ford walked onto the elevator. He saw Adam and did a 90-degree turn or 180-degree meeting, just left the elevator, walked back out. So have you mentioned me to Adam? You got to mention me to Adam. This is what you're going to watch. You should record the reaction.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll put on with some of those Google glasses, spy glasses, and just walk around City Hall.
Yeah, and walk up to him. Walk up to him and say, "I just spent my Christmas holidays with Bob Dobbs," and you watch. his face will go into shock mode, and you'll have to explain how you just shunted him into a parallel world right there. You'll have to explain that. No, because you have been here. Just to compress the time, you know. That was January 2012. It was 2 years ago. Yeah. By the time you get to see him, say 2 years ago. But compress it. Just say, "I just got back from Bob's place." You'll go, Bob who? You say, "Well, what other Bob is there?" And he'll go, "Dobbs?" And he'll say, "Right."
And then he'll have another heart attack.
The last time I saw Adam, it was I walked into the CBC building in 94. And he was working at CBC, yeah. So I'm going to the archives to get some McLuhan video or something. So I'm walking along, and all of a sudden I see him coming, and he's talking to another worker, but I put my head down, and I didn't want to talk to him, so I just tried to ignore him. All of a sudden I heard him say, he turned around and says, Bob! And I just kept walking. I didn't even turn back. And I went to the elevator. So I'm standing waiting for the elevator. And so he comes back, and he stands and leans up against the wall with his folded, like the principal of the high school, with his arms folded, leaning at me. And saying, what are, he says, what are you doing here? Very suspicious. And I didn't say nothing. So I get on the elevator, and I go up to the 10th floor. I'm going to the basement, but I knew he was watching the light. So I make the thing go all the way up to the executive level, you know, the penthouse. and he's watching that little light go all the way to the top. And then I don't know what he thought then. And then I waited, and then I snuck back down the stairway, went down to the sub-basement, got my little document, and got the hell out of there. And that's the last time I saw him. Totally.
Where was that again?
What?
What building was that?
The main new CBC building, you know, with the art, the big hulking thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the Eaton Center. You know, it's quite modern.
Well, I met Peter Mansbridge yesterday. He's looking to hire an assistant.
You're leaving the council, the other council already?
I don't know. We'll see. There's no action there. It's a little bit boring, you know. It's the regular stuff. So
actually,
so,
I would see the
kind
real
of bored already.
The real government is Peter.
Yeah, I don't want to see any of that. I don't want to know anything about that. I'd rather know about like crack cocaine and Somalis and all these things.
That's right. I'm saying that the Peter Mansbridge leads the real government, which is the TV news.
Yeah.
Nelson Thal went nuts over Peter Mansbridge, because bridge is the interval, and is a bridge to man, and the Pope is a bridge, and he was had all these metaphysics in 1984 when Baptist Nelson Thal saw the Pope come into Toronto and drive by the McLuhan Center being guided by Derrida Kirkhoff and Peter Mansbridge. It was a huge conspiracy in the word level that Nelson never recovered from.
Wow.
He analyzed the words, Peter Mansbridge, because the Pope is man's bridge to God.
Yeah, and St. Peter's.
yeah. So so we have many stories to tell you of your new home, your new city. We were the ones that laid the groundwork for ION in Toronto. We bounced it, worked it out in Toronto like a parallel world compared to New York and Hawaii. We worked and rehearsed the whole thing on the radio, and now we're going forward. And we're in charge, and you're nothing, Brendan, unless you fucking do your work for... You spy for Darbstown, you can be something. It's the only thing that's real.
Yes, so, eh?
Yeah, it's the only thing that's
well,
real.
Well, look how much it's... look where it's gotten to.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Recorded forever, Sue. There's a divided family because, you know, Brendan's father hates Carolyn. The eternal battle between jerks, the medical jerks, is acted out between the Bone family and the Dean family. And he is an expert in the medical emergencies, and Carolyn actually helps people. And the polarity never is finished.
Well, Bob, Brendan is your very first Club 22 kid because he was born at 22-22.
He arrived in your womb on November 6, 1984, the night Reagan got reelected, and we were at the Halifax Metro Center watching Frank Zappa, and that's when Brendan entered the womb in the middle of the song I played an hour ago, Stairway to Heaven.
See, Brendan, that's how you were really conceived.
That's right. That's
did
why
Frank
Brendan
Zappa play that song, Stairway to Heaven?
What?
Yeah, you were there. You were there.
Did Frank Zappa play that song at the concert, Stairway to Heaven?
Yes.
Put it on for a second for...
Well, Brendan. He can't hear it. It's too muffled. He can't hear it. Mm. I don't think. Well, wait a minute. You're in the phone zone, aren't you? So you could hear this. Okay. Yeah. We already played it. It's Eliza's signed song. I assign songs to people, so we should assign this one to you. You and Eliza can have the honor of the song. It's your mm-hmm. song sign. And the, let's see, there it is. Everything's ready? Do I have to put the sound volume up? Just a second there. I'm adjusting the sound dials, studio dials. Here we go.
Bob talks us through his producing.
Turns the stone, and she's buying the stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed. With a word, she can get what she came for. To be sure, 'cause you know sometimes words have two meanings. There's a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts are misleading. When I look to the west, and my spirit is crying for Lehman. My thoughts I have seen, rings of smoke through the trees, and the voices of those who stand looking.
Now get ready, Brendan. You're going to hear the most amazing finale, okay? Are you still with us, Brendan?
Yeah.
They're discussing you over in the chat line. They're going, Brendan, they're spelling it wrong. Who is this guy? And then someone says, oh, it's one of Bob's buddies. Somebody says, then woman says, he was involved in Rob Ford, crack mayor's office. I'm sure he'll talk about it. And then Norma smiles at that idea. Then Mark says, sorry, I don't know who is Sue. Have you met my kitty, Cleo? And then Mark says, oh, gotta go to Chief. He has to go piss. So he thanks me for playing Frank because he has to take a piss break. And then they're talking about Zeep. And then Mark says, why don't you slap magnets on a Tesla meter? which is our electric meter to host. The magnet disengaged the wheels, the counter kilowatt hours are free. And then a kind of woman said, good God, he's getting sharper by the minute. They're talking about me. I get funny and funny. I'm not getting weaker. I'm getting stronger. They're fucking standing back in awe. And then we start playing Zappa, and the condo woman says, dance, everyone, dance! And she tells Mark to start counting. He's an idiot drummer who fucking counts every second of his life. Count, count. So the condo woman got in by the bell, and Balls was making fun of him and says, count, Mark, count! And then she says something. Mark says, Bob, thanks for the piss break. Somebody has to say this. Zappa is equal to an Izod zipper and a pants to be set free or unzipped through Zappa. And then, what's the next one? Dance, everyone, dance. And then Norma says, oh, Mark, those may be fighting words here in Doddstown, spelled D-O-D-D-S-T-O-W-N, Doddstown. According to Bob, no one gets away with Dog and Zappa. So that's where we're at, and now we hear the rest. I hit pause, don't I, Bill? Don't want to blow this. I hit pause.
All the tune, then the Piper will lead us to reason. That new day will dawn for those who stand long, and the forest will echo with laughter.
What? What the hell happened? Okay, I will hit the button again. I didn't touch anything.
I know.
Bill knocked it out. Ion fucked it up. Fucking Ion. Cut it off right before the orgasm. What do we do? Fix it, Bill. Fix it. Brennan's got to hear the dramatic, you know. What the hell? What if I hit it again? Nope. And we can't go all the way through it again. Fix it, Bill. Look at that. Lofty. Now, Lofty... this Bob Howard Beale moment. Now, Lofty is Steve Reimer. He's the guy who designs our dupes.
Mm.
Why is he here? He could hack the place. He could hack the thing. I'm being surrounded. What the heck happened to the song? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that never happened.
Well, you know what? Could we? I will click it on. Start over. We'll turn the volume off and wait till we get to the climax again. So you entertain me, Brendan, with some stories about Rob Ford, because people, this guy here, talk about being a Secret Council 10 and then 1 degree from everything. This guy has come here and turned down chief of staff for the biggest, most well-known face in the world right now. Turned it down, chief of staff, to head over here. Wait a minute. Are we disconnected from the fucking show?
No. You're here.
Yeah, we can hear you.
See? We're not even on the radio, Carolyn.
No, I'm hearing. Your phone may be dead, Bob.
Oh. No.
I mean, we can hear you, but it starts flipping on you. So I'll go upstairs and get your other phone.
No, this is okay. Did they? What happened to the music?
It died.
Okay.
I mean, for everybody.
So are you there, Brendan?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's try to get a reasonable conversation going here while I let the song replay for 5 minutes, and then we'll get the big ending. You know what I mean? And I'll let it replay with the volume up. All right. So it'll start the game. Let's see. It should start. No, where is it? Click this. Okay. Not working. My studio magic didn't work, Brendan. I forgot that I have no.
Fine.
I, for, I thought I usually just turn it down for my own headphones, but we can't turn Bill off. Now, Steve Reimer has sent some email. Lofty has sent some emails, and he says, a clip for your marathon, and welcome to Dupes, and someone complaining about the site, he's forwards those to me. Brendan, let's hear a few stories. We will relax. Hey, now, how about this? Bill, can you run it through, let it run in your studio with the volume off, and right at the five-minute mark or so, when we want to hear the climax, you then bring it up. Can that be done, Bill? No answer. What do you think of that, Brendan? It's not too good.
Well, Bill's been up for 4 days, too.
Yeah, he may be sleeping. Come on, Bill.
Yeah.
The heck with it.
Right.
So back to Sue. Where's Sue? You know, I think, Brendan, we have, you and I and Carolyn have gone into another world. We're not even on the radio.
We can hear you, Bob.
I'm here, Bob, too.
Oh, that's right. Allison says, hit the panic button. That's right. Good point.
Oh, let Bill sleep.
No.
You can do the climax another hour, Bob.
I want to do it for Brendan. Brendan's not going to stay here forever. Let's see if the panic button works. We'll just tell him we were just rehearsing. Look at Dave Neufeld says, just talk to Brendan and stop putzing with stuff. That's the panic button.
You rang?
Mark is... Yes. Okay, Bill. We have an assignment for you, Bill.
Okay.
Were you sleeping?
No, I was headed out to the kitchen for a few minutes.
Okay, can you play Stairway, let it go, you know, run it, going along, you hit it and start playing, then you turn the volume down so we don't hear it until you get about the five-minute mark, and then you turn up for the climax, because the thing suddenly went dead, and we're trying to get Brendan educated in the Zappa, because he was born in a Zappa concert, okay? He first entered his mother, Sue's, womb on November 6, 1984, at a Zappa concert, in Halifax during Stairway to Heaven. There's very important psycho profile going on here. So we want you to play Stairway to Heaven, but have the sound off so we can talk, and then at the right moment near the end, put the volume up so we can enjoy it. Is that possible?
Okay. Yeah, just run that timing by me one more time.
Okay. You. I will click on Stairway, right, and it'll start playing. Then you must turn down the volume so we don't hear it for the first 5 minutes.
Well, why don't I just fast-forward it to where you want it?
Oh, perfect. Yes, do that. If you can. Yes. Yes, see, Dave, putzing around, eh? I fucking get... I solved the problem, Dave. Fucking Dave, a professional. They hate the amateurs. And Bill, he lives up to his he's unpaid Bill, Brendan. That's what we call him, unpaid Bill. And he does serve well.
Okay, Bob. When you push pause, it's on 4:58 right now.
Okay. Anybody want to quickly Google it and find out how long the song is?
9 minutes and something. 9 plus.
Okay.
21.
Good. All right. So we're going to stop it at 7 minutes. So tell me when it's. What do I hit? The pause button.
Yeah, hit the pause again.
Meanwhile, a Connor woman is dying laughing. She can still type, but she's going, I can't stop laughing. And Mark says he's they're all dying in the chat room, girl. That's one of the funniest. I'm becoming the funniest person who ever lived. Okay. Where are we at, Bill? 722? 722, I hit pause, Bill?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Won't go in case you don't know. The piper's calling you to join him. Dear lady, can you hear the wind blow? And did you know your stairway lies on the whispering wind?
Now, Brendan, have you ever heard anything more sacred?
No, not than that. No, never.
And you were born to that. No wonder you can fucking sing and play music. That's the context you were born in. Think of that.
And here I was wondering all along, why am I so good?
And, yes, that's right.
I got.
we help people find out who, in fact, they really are. To quote Aldous Huxley in his novel Island, 1962. Look at this. Look, they're going nuts over on the chat line. Three of them have ascended. They ascended at the 8-minute mark of the song. And Janet says, this is the best rock concert ever. Economist says, oh, yeah, before the first chapter of Genesis. Wheel says, now that's a climax. Lofty, who's Steve Reimer, who's up there in Seattle, up in Toronto, emailing us, and he says, a Zappa quickie. That's a little off, Lofty. That doesn't make any sense. Is this not a quickie? That was well, you know, foreplay, development, ascension, climax. And as Madeline says, delayed orgasm. That was delayed orgasm. For fuck's sake, Steve, get laid. You don't fucking know what you're talking about. There's always an idiot in the middle of the fun, right? Isn't that right, Brendan? There's always one idiot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's usually the mayor.
What?
What is the mayor?
Yeah. Now, yeah, this is all pretty incredible. You people, we have the right-hand man of the biggest face of the week in the Android meme. And we didn't even ask for it. And we had Jermaine. We had the Jermaine sisters last night, who are the most amazing Spanish ghetto graduates ever, and they're going to be huge all over the world. Whew. So that Ion, he must be in a rush suit if I can get this RNA drops made to the top and topple the Human Genome Project.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have another Canadian. Look at Dave. They were predicting. They go, Bob's air guitaring right now. And this is about 6 minutes ago. Dave says, Bob, read the clips as you're air guitaring. Ronan, see, the thing is, in order to appreciate Zappa, you must be ascended. That's right. So you're just now starting your ascension, Brendan.
Okay.
Now I'm willing to back off, take a secondary seat, and Brendan and Sue, tell us about yourselves or about the story, about the are you under contract? You can't say anything.
Yeah, technically, yeah, I am. But actually, I signed a new contract, so I really should get a lawyer to go over it with me.
What I'm saying, let's go for the hidden environment. What are some neat moments that you remember? The subtle moments that, you know, there are no legal levels. They're just the way he glanced at someone, the way he looked shocked at a moment. You know, give us some of the subtle little things that happens in person.
Well, I guess the big night was, you know, when he came out and said, well, yeah, I did smoke crack. And,
yeah.
I drove home with him that night because he needed security.
Look at that. We helped him get home, Sue. Club 22 helped the guy. The biggest story in the world. And we had, he had exclusive service to Dobbstown, so you drove him home. Was he crying?
No, he was happy. He was, you know, the radio was playing, and he wasn't even listening to it. He was just looking out over the road.
And he was at the center of the storm, you know, the Android meme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Robert DeVille.
The channels, but, yeah, and then we got home, and there was a raccoon in his garbage can. And he said, hey, look at the raccoon. Look at it, like a little kid, like he's 5 years old.
Yeah. That's it. You got it exact. Those are the little moments you'll never forget, Brendan. The whole scene in front of his driveway and him screaming about the raccoon. That's perfect. That's an exact. You must be a fucking poet, Brendan. You can write a song about this.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Okay, so that's so one. That's one ringing.
That's one.
Now give it another one.
Well, when he lost all of his staff at council, he came down to his office. And there was a kid who was waiting in his reception, the mayor's reception, for like 6 hours. I kept telling the kid, listen, he's like a 6-year-old kid, or he's like a 9-year-old kid with a ghetto blaster. And he's from like some, you know, he's from the suburbs or somewhere, one of those Ford Nation places.
Yeah.
And you know, he said, no, I'll just wait for the mayor. I'm going to sing to him. I said, okay, well, if you can wait. Wait as long as you want, I guess. And so the mayor eventually comes down. You know, he's lost everything basically, and sits in his office. And I got this all on video. I'll put it up sometime soon. But the kid sings this song to him, and It's the funniest song. Anyhow, it's, you know, it goes, you know, happiness is two scoops of ice cream, four chocolate donuts.
Wow.
Anyways, it goes on, and it goes on for like it's painful. It's like 8 minutes long, and then it ends finally, and he says, "Did that cheer you up, Mr. Mayor?" And he says, "Yeah, buddy, it cheered me up."
Then this is why the people.
That's just what I needed.
Brendan sounds like a neat guy. The poor people love the guy. They can come down and do that. That's fucking amazing. He's a spiritual gift to the Protestant masses.
He hugs everybody. Okay. He hugs everybody.
Yeah, that's incredible. Whoever would have had a little kid allow the kids? That's why the people like him, right? He's accessible.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
See?
And then they showed him around his office.
Yeah. These are priceless.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah. So, you know, every time, you know, a lot of like he loves football. So, you know, anything. Yeah. If you got anything to do with football, like I guess occasionally these you know football players would come through the office and.
Did he know?
Anyways, he said.
Did he know your uncle?
Yeah, no. I used my uncle as leverage to get a job there. I said in the interview, I said my uncle played football, and that got me in, kind of.
Right. Yeah, and it's great resignation where he declared that a coup had been toppled him. In the middle of it, he acknowledges the Hamilton Tiger Cats. In the middle of his big Shakespeare tragic speech, he said, oh, by the way, I was at the game today, and number 33 was really good. He caught three touchdowns and ran four and broke three records. It was incredible. Oh, back to this. You guys have fucking cooed me, and this will not be tolerated. I will sit here for the next 10 months, and I'll be back here in the mayor's office, because your fucking coo won't work, and I can eat all the cunt I want at home, so fuck you. Oh yeah, anyways, I was sold a T-shirt. I got a fucking, what would be the other one? Calgary Stampeders T-shirt here. Anybody want it?
Well, that's another thing. He gave that little kid that sang to him a Ford Nation T-shirt that was an XL. So he walked out with this huge T-shirt, Ford Nation T-shirt on.
Huge T-shirt. The guy will wear.
You'll have to grow into it a little bit, buddy.
Yeah. So was the kid about 12? Like, how old was the kid?
Yeah, he's about 12. Yeah, yeah.
See, these are tremendous stories. Don't you think, Carol? Aren't you touched? Aren't you moved by this Robbie Ford?
I'm thinking the instant gratification guy. That's what he sounds like, you know, the raccoon thing. And
I don't think you're on mute, Carol. Damn it, she's always on fucking mute.
I'm multitasking. Yeah, he's an instant gratification guy where, you know, he sees the raccoon, gets all excited, he wants to do drugs to make him feel good for a little while. So he is a kid in a big body.
You guys don't mind the echo, right? We can't stop. We can't be bothered stopping it right now because I'm in the room with Carolyn. Is that okay? Did you get that with the echo?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you give us, but we'll just ask you for three. Can you give us one more ringy dingy? One more.
A memory. Yeah, well, you know those cheap sunglasses that you get occasionally if you drink, if you buy a case of beer, you get like a cheap free, or you get some free sunglasses and a case of beer sometimes. I don't know, occasionally they have these offers on. So I guess one time he got some Molson's or something, and then I got in his car with him, and he hit his face for a second, and I was sitting in the front seat, and he's in the driver's seat, and he like, puts these sunglasses on, like, turned away from me. And then he turns quickly to me and says, "Hey, what do you think of my sunglasses?"
That's instant gratification
that
right there.
Those are those cheap sunglasses you get in the beer case that they're doing.
Yeah, they were made of flat, like Band-Aids or something, like they're broken.
Yeah, so I'll always remember that too, you know, so.
Yeah, no, what do you think, Sue? This guy should be made an honorary member of Club 22, Two Run Two, he's in the city. I think he should become our mascot. I think we need to fucking invest all the profits we make this year, Carol, is going to go into his campaign.
Well, I think we're my dead body.
Yeah, we're going to make sure Adam Vaughn doesn't become mayor. We must stop. And I think Neufeld, we'll bring in Neufeld and Brendan to make satirical songs against Adam Vaughn.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
I breathed RNA drops all over the office.
What, Sue?
I went down to see Brendan on his birthday at the end of July, and Rob Ford wasn't there, so Brendan took me on a little tour of the mayor's office, and I was able to go into his office and look all